The University of Virginia is renegotiating its contract with fraternities. It suspended them after the Rolling Stone piece that Tovia Smith just mentioned. It describes a frat house gang rape. And even though that account is now in doubt, UVA is sticking with its vow to make changes. As NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports, that includes a plan from the university's president to crack down on excessive and underage drinking at frat houses.
There are dry fraternities, but that idea was quickly dismissed. Tommy Reed, the head of UVA's Interfraternity Council, told the Board of Visitors it would simply drive drinking parties underground.
Then they're going to happen in parking lots and random places. This is a problem that is not going to be solved by simply eliminating it. It's a problem of regulation and control.
But how to regulate something illegal? UVA President Teresa Sullivan says one place to start, getting rid of those big garbage cans full of hard liquor brew.
Even an alert and careful student who tries the sweet-tasting cocktail that has many types of liquor cannot know how much alcohol it contains.
A new ad hoc group that also includes parents is looking at fraternities and drinking. Member Ashley Brown, a fourth-year student, wants to designate frat brothers to self-police during parties.
Having one stationed at the stairs, one up in the bedrooms, one by the bar. I am a sober individual because you're so much more likely to go talk to someone that looks like your peer than someone that looks like your parent.
One of the challenges I've seen in trying to implement programs like that is no one wants to volunteer to be the sober person.
Instead, Tobin Nelson of the University of Minnesota recommends fraternities use professional bar servers. They're more likely to ask for IDs and not to serve someone who's already drunk, though they are costly. Over the years, Nelson's seen a lot of schools try to curb binge drinking, usually without much success.
What they want to do is educate students about the dangers of drinking, and just if you tell them enough times with enough seriousness, that students will get the message.
Unfortunately, he says, they don't. What works is enforcement, but surveys show fewer than half of schools enforce their own alcohol policies. Stage Davis graduated from the University of Virginia this year. She thinks even when the school has punished frats, like last year when a string of pledges landed in the hospital for drinking too much, it wasn't harsh enough.
What I would like to see is a culture in which one fraternity brother says to the other, dude, don't do that, because one, because it's wrong, but two, because we're all going to get in trouble.
Well-intentioned efforts sometimes can backfire.
Peter Lake directs the Center for Excellence in Higher Education Law and Policy. He's seen frats be shut down only to go off campus and come back wilder than ever.
It's almost like you're playing chess. You've got to think, I make this move, the alcohol culture will respond. What's my next move?
But Lake says it is possible to curb drinking if you change not just frats, but the whole campus environment. One of the most effective policies? Raising the price of a drink. No more two-for-one specials at local bars. Higher taxes on alcohol, something Virginia already has. Researcher Tobin Nelson says there's a good argument for this.
The amount of tax revenue that's collected doesn't even come close to the social cost that those governments incur from the social problems related to alcohol. Enforcement, health-related costs, transports to hospitals.
Taxpayers bear that burden, he says, which means we all have a stake in getting college students to drink less. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.